RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia has sufficient number of nuclear experts, minister says. Indonesia has power to promote the world peace. Indonesian government has no plan yet to revise target of revenue from tax amnesty. Now the news in detail. The United States will hold presidential election in November 2016 to replace President Barack Obama, who immediately will terminate his term of office. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the two strong candidates to become the next U.S. president. In responding the matter, former Indonesian ambassador to the U.S. of 2010 to 2013 period, Dino Patijalal, in an event penetrating political boundaries for cooperation on science and technology in Depok, West Java on Wednesday, said Hillary Clinton is considered to be more understand about various issues in Southeast Asia, including Indonesia. Therefore, Hillary has foreign politics which is benefit Indonesia. From the two candidates, Hillary Clinton is better understand about Indonesia since she was the person behind rebalancing policy of Obama toward Asia. If the strong in Asia, what does it mean? Relationship with China will change, and so as the relationship with Japan and Korea. The largest strategic thrust is Southeast Asia. In other words, the American rebalancing policies improve strategic values of Indonesia very drastically. In addition, Dino Patijalal said that the U.S. will continue to look Indonesia as the most strategic partner in Southeast Asia. Dino moreover said, if Hillary Clinton elected as the new U.S. president replacing President Barack Obama, she would be easier to understand surely in the context of enhancing both countries' cooperation in the future. Ambassador of the Kingdom of Jordan to Indonesia, Walid Al-Hadid, views the concrete cooperation with Indonesia is very important. In a special interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, related to the Independence Day of Jordanian Kingdom, Ambassador Walid Al-Hadid in Jakarta said Indonesia played a significant role in many international cooperation, so Indonesia has the power to promote global peace.
Indonesia is very important in terms of the economically speaking, but politically speaking, and Indonesia, in our view, is a force for peace, not only in Southeast Asia, but also in the world. Indonesia is one of the G20. The potential economy will make it in the top 10 economies of the world. It is among the third largest democracy in the world. It is the leading country in the Southeast Asia, which include around 700 million people. It has a very special role within the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and within other multinational international organizations.
Furthermore, Walid Al-Hadid said Indonesia and Jordan had tied a close bilateral relation since 1950s, so it has brought benefit for the two countries. The long-term relationship has been very beneficial for both countries. He said, further, the visit of Jordanian King in 2015 indicated that the relation of both countries is getting more stronger and keep increasing in the field of social, culture, politics, economy, tourism, and education. The Minister of Research and Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, said Indonesia has sufficient number of nuclear experts to develop the technology. The minister pointed out on Tuesday that Indonesia has several universities which have study programs in nuclear science and engineering. However, according to him, the Indonesian human resources in nuclear technology have not been working in the country because there is no nuclear technology development program in Indonesia yet. As a result, they are working in other countries where the nuclear technology is well developed. In addition to human resources, the minister added, Indonesia also has abundant nuclear elements in nature, such as uranium, which has not been explored for a nuclear power plant. He stated that the ministry, together with the National Nuclear Energy Agency Bantan, continues to conduct research and development in the field of nuclear energy to generate power, develop treatments, and build a nuclear reactor. Nasir also wanted Indonesia to immediately utilize its nuclear potentials as an alternative source of energy. The Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste will become a member of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, in 2017. The Indonesian ambassador to ASEAN, Rahmat Pramono, said in Jakarta Tuesday. The feasibility study highlighted three pillars to evaluate the qualifications of Timor-Leste to become a member of ASEAN. The three pillars are politics and security, economy and socio-culture. Ambassador Rahmat also said the politics, security and economy studies have been assessed, while the socio-cultural assessment is expected to be completed by the end of this year. In addition, Timor-Leste must undertake development of its human resources in order to boost the economy of the country. He added that in the near future, all representatives of ASEAN countries will meet to discuss Timor-Leste's joining the regional organization. Ambassador Rahmat Pramono added that if approved, Timor-Leste will become the 11th member country of ASEAN. Currently, ASEAN has 10 member countries, including Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Philippines, Singapore, Brunei Darussalam, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and Cambodia. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government has no plan yet to revise its target of revenue it plans to earn from the tax amnesty scheme, Vice President Yusuf Kala stated before attending a limited meeting to evaluate the economic policy packages. He pointed out that the target may change depending on the realization of revenues from tax amnesty. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro projected that the revenue from the tax amnesty scheme could reach 180 trillion rupiah based on the average assumed rate of 4% for those declaring and bringing back their wealth into Indonesia and 2% for those only declaring their wealth. He explained that although the tax amnesty has the potential to yield a revenue of 180 trillion rupiah, the government will be more conservative in setting the target of revenue from the tax amnesty in the revised 2016 state budget. The tax amnesty bill is currently being deliberated at the House of Representatives, DPR. The Ministry of Education and Culture will organize a meeting of Indonesian museums on May 30 to June 2, 2016 in Bali. The theme of the meeting is Building the Ecosystem of Museums with National Character and Personality. Director of Preservation of Cultural Heritage and Museum of the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hari Widianto, in a press conference on Tuesday explained that until March 2016, Indonesia has 416 museums run by both the government and private sectors. The condition of museums is very diverse and divided into three groups based on the condition of the facility and its network. The museums is the lowest group are not provided by facilities of networks. A forum to discuss the issues is therefore needed.
Tujuannya memberikan kesempatan kepada pemerintah.
The goal is to give the local administrations, heads of the museums, museum observers, and museum lover community the opportunity to exchange information and promote the museums in Indonesia. Around 300 heads of museums will attend the meeting. They have many issues to be addressed in the meeting. Hari Widianto expressed hope that Indonesian museums would have complete collections, valid information, facilities, and smart and creative human resources. This is in line with the museum's obligations stipulated in Government Regulation No. 66, year 2015 on museum, to protect, develop, utilize the collections, and communicate them to the public. Discussion will lift some of the sub-themes, among others, the use of digital technology in the development of the museum development policy, improvement of the image of the Indonesian museum, and public involvement in the development of the museum. The series of the events consists of discussions, exhibitions, and visits to several museums in Bali. The last item. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged his ministers to bring down the price of beef, which usually soars high during the fasting month of Ramadan, to 80,000 rupiah per kilogram or less before Idul Fitri or Lebaran this year. In Indonesia, ahead of the Muslim Lebaran festivity, beef prices are hovering between 120,000 rupiah to 130,000 rupiah per kilogram, and can even reach 150,000 rupiah per kilogram, that is twice the normal rates. The president believes that if beef prices in other countries can be set below 80,000 rupiah per kilogram, Indonesia should be able to do the same. The president pointed out if beef prices in other countries can be regulated to fall within the purchasing power of the community, the same must also be done in Indonesia. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia has sufficient number of nuclear expert, minister says. Indonesia has power to promote the world peace. Indonesian government has no plan yet to revise target of revenue from tax amnesty. That was the news.
Hello listener, welcome back to commentary for today entitling United States Lift Arms Embargo Against Vietnam. After more than 5 decades, finally, the United States lifted its arms embargo against Vietnam. US President Barack Obama formally lifted the embargo at a press conference together with their Vietnamese President Tran Dai Quang on Monday. President Obama stated, "This is not because of the PRC, but because America wants to normalize relations with Vietnam. But keep in mind, the two countries are currently worried about PRC maneuvers and claim over the island in the South China Sea." The United States' decision to lift the arms embargo is, of course, warmly welcomed by the President of Vietnam, Tran Dai Quang. President Obama's 3-day visit to Vietnam starting Monday was to forge closer ties with Hanoi. Obama arrived in Vietnam 41 years after the last U.S. troops had left Saigon, which was invaded by North Vietnamese forces then. The visit was an American maneuvers in the Asia-Pacific regions to counterbalance the power of the PRC, which is getting stronger. Both countries fought against each other in the Vietnam War, which lasted for 10 years, from 1965 to 1975, and ended with the U.S. defeat. The war resulted in 57,000 U.S. soldiers and 2 million Vietnamese military and civilians were killed. In this war, the United States supported the South Vietnamese nationalists against the communist North Vietnam. In a state banquet, President Tran Dai Quang thanked President Obama for his positive efforts to end the painful chapter in the bilateral relations. Yet Quang asserted the wound has not been fully healed. However, both parties agreed to forget the tragedy and promised to work together better in the future. Relations between the two countries has increased since 2014. Vietnam has loosened its relationship with China, a fellow communist country, after its claim to the island in the South China Sea, which is also claimed by Vietnam. The country then began working to improve its military capabilities. China, meanwhile, had been upset with the lifting of the U.S. arms embargo. Beijing does not like the United States' efforts to establish closer military ties with China's neighboring countries as the tensions in the South China Sea area increases. Though it does not intend to limit its neighbor relation with other countries, China also does not want the improving of relation be used to threaten the strategic interests of other countries. China has claimed almost the entire territory in the South China Sea, which is rich in energy resources. Meanwhile, the same claim was also raised by the Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, and even Taiwan. Hopefully, Obama's visit can further give a positive color to the creation of solution to problems in the region and not adding issues that can worsen the situation. The cooperation between those countries should not in order to create a new strain that confronts the United States with China or with any power in the region. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from an event on May 25th, the establishment of the Organization of African Unity. The Organization of African Unity was established on May 25th, 1963, in Addis Ababa, on signature of the OAU Charter by representatives of 32 governments. A further 21 states have joined gradually over the years, with South Africa becoming the 53rd member on May 23, 1994. The OAU aims to promote the unity and solidarity of African states, coordinate and intensify their cooperation and effort to achieve a better life for the peoples of Africa, defend their sovereignty, territorial integrity, and independence, eradicate all forms of colonialism from Africa, promote international cooperation, giving due regard to the Charter of the United Nations and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and coordinate and harmonize members' political, diplomatic, economic, educational, cultural, health, welfare, scientific, technical, and defense policies. Since the entry into force of the Abuja Treaty establishing the African Economic Community, or AEC, in May 1994, the OAU, or Organization of African Unity, has been operating on the basis of two legal instruments. For this reason, the OAU is officially referred to as the OAU-AEC. We now have a look to another event on May 25th, 1979. McDonnell Douglas DC-10 from American Airlines crashed in Chicago, Illinois, the United States. American Airlines Flight 191 was a regularly scheduled passenger flight operated by American Airlines from O'Hare International Airport in Chicago to Los Angeles International Airport. a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 used for this flight on May 25, 1979, crashed moments after takeoff from Chicago. All 258 passengers and 13 crew on board were killed, along with two people on the ground. It is the deadliest aviation accident to have occurred in the United States. Investigators found that as the jet was beginning its takeoff rotation, engine number one on the left wing separated and flipped over the top of the wing. The extremely disrupted and unbalanced aerodynamics of the aircraft caused it to subsequently roll to the left until it was partially inverted, reaching a bank angle of 112 degrees before crashing in an open field by a trailer park near the end of the runway. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on May 25, 2002. China Airlines flight number 611 for Taoyuan, Taiwan, Hong Kong crashed in Taiwan Strait water. After about 20 minutes into the flight, the plane suddenly disappeared from the radar screen. Finally, it was noted that the plane fell from an altitude of 35,000 feet, killing all passengers, amounting to 206 passengers and 19 crews. This aircraft crashed because of cracks in the fuselage caused by a minor accident during landing at Kai Tak International Airport, Hong Kong in 1980. The tiny crack that being repaired by China Airlines causes the fuselage torn when the existence of the plane was getting more high. Listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Voy Green. Today we'll talk about disaster research should be enhanced to reduce disaster risk. The Association of Indonesia's Disaster Experts and the National Disaster Management Agency held the third annual scientific meeting on Monday and Tuesday on May 23rd to 24th, 2016 in Bandung, West Java. The meeting was held at the Bandung Institute of Technology campus. Participants of the meeting mainly discussed the disaster risk reduction with a variety of prospective approaches, such as agglomeration PRB, risk warning, or risk communication. The meeting was opened by Main Secretary of the National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, Dodi Rizwandi. In his speech, Dodi said BNPB encouraged researchers, practitioners, and disaster care community in conducting research. According to Dodi, research can improve the quality of disaster management in Indonesia, and this can also be shared to the international community. In addition, Dodi said that BNPB has made various efforts, one of which is research involving various parties. The challenge is currently related to the planning, implementation, and documentation of research results that have not been coordinated well. The Association of Indonesian Disaster Experts, IABI, has 12 working groups based on the type of disaster. Members of the association consisted of 350 experts in the field of disaster comes from academics, bureaucrats, research institutions, practitioners, and disaster care community. A non-profit organization that was formed on June 5, 2014, has drawn up a blueprint and roadmap disaster research in Indonesia. The purpose of IAPI formation is to socialize and develop the concept of disaster knowledge to stakeholders in the field of disaster. The organization also conducts research on strategic disaster and becomes the national priority to be published to the public. IAPI focuses on research into the development of early warning system in the 2014-2017 period. The system includes, in the context of the tsunami, floods, flash floods, droughts, forests and land fires, and landslides. Various activities organized by EIB in the third annual scientific meeting, such as national seminars, panel discussions, exhibitions, and field trips. The exhibition displays 40 booths of various institutions, such as the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, the Ministry of Health, National Disaster Management Agency, campuses, Japan International Cooperation Agency, and the Center for Disaster Studies. Various new tools are displayed, such as drones for mapping landslide disasters and measuring devices of domestic production. That was Voy Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The United States will hold presidential election in November 2016 to replace President Barack Obama, who immediately will terminate his term of office. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the two strong candidates to become the next U.S. president. In responding to the matter, former Indonesian ambassador to the U.S. of 2010-2013 period, Dino Patijalal, in an event, Penetrating Political Boundaries for Cooperation on Science and Technology in Depok, Wednesday said, Hillary Clinton is considered to be more understand about various issues in Southeast Asia, including Indonesia. Ambassador of the Kingdom of Jordan to Indonesia, Walid Al-Hadid, views the concrete cooperation with Indonesia is very important. In a special interview with RRI World Service, related to the Independence Day of Jordanian Kingdom, Ambassador Walid Al-Hadid said, Indonesia played a significant role in many international cooperation, so Indonesia has the power to promote global peace. The Minister of Research and Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, said Indonesia has sufficient number of nuclear experts to develop the technology. The minister pointed out on Tuesday that Indonesia has several universities which have study programs in nuclear science and engineering. The Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste will become a member of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, in 2017, the Indonesian ambassador to ASEAN, Rahmat Pramono, said in Jakarta. The feasibility study highlighted three pillars to evaluate the qualifications of Timor-Leste to become a member of ASEAN. Indonesian government has no plan yet to revise its target of revenue it plans to earn from the tax amnesty scheme, Vice President Yusuf Kalla stated before attending a limited meeting to evaluate the economic policy packages. The target may change depending on the realization of revenues from tax amnesty. The Ministry of Education and Culture will organize a meeting of Indonesian museums on May 30th to June 2nd, 2016 in Bali. The theme of the meeting is building the ecosystem of museums with national character and personality. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has urged the ministers to bring down the price of beef, which usually soars high during the fasting month of Ramadan, to 80,000 rupiah per kilogram or less before Eid al-Fitri or Lebaran this year. The president pointed out if beef prices in other countries can be regulated to fall within the purchasing power of the community, the same must also be done in Indonesia. That was News in Brief.
The winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 are Li Chunkuo of China, Han Yifo of China, Chui Wenfai of China, Liu Fachen of China, Cho Chui Ying of China, Tokita Michio of Japan, Yuho Fujimoto of Japan, Kobai Uemura of Japan, Russell Ainsworth, Australia, Jamal Uddin El-Kiki, Australia, Rafiqul Alam Khan, Australia, So Jung Lee, South Korea, MD Mahfuzur Rahman of Bangladesh, Riaz Ahmad Khan, Pakistan. Congratulations to the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. You are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 to June 1, 2016. Tourism Ministry pays the international tickets, domestic tickets, and ground handling during the visit in Indonesia. The winners bear travel fare from their city of origin to the country's international airport and visa application fee. They are also required to hold and keep all boarding passes during the program. Afterwards, the winners should upload their activities during their visit in Indonesia to social media. Therefore, the winners should complete travel documents and personal data, including phone number and occupation, soon. Please send your photo as well to email wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. We are looking forward to your coming to Indonesia. You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kilohertz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit West Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Lombok Island, which is located in West Nusa Tenggara Province, has many tourism destinations which cannot be missed, especially if you love marine tourism destination. One of tourism destinations is Gili Gili, surrounding Lombok Island. Gili in Sasak language means small island. So all small islands surrounding Lombok Island are always called Gili. Those Gili are among others Gili Air, Gili Trawangan, Gili Nangu, Gili Sundak, and Gili Tangkong. But Gili Meno has its own uniqueness, which makes this island very special. Listeners, Gili Meno is located at Gili Meno Hamlet, Gili Indah Village, North Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. It can be accessed by using a boat or speedboat through Bangsal Seaport. Comparing another Gili, the situation on Gili Meno is much quieter. It is because motor vehicles are not allowed to pass by. The existing transportation is only bicycle and cidomo. Cidomo is Lombok traditional transportation, which is pulled by a horse. So tourists who want to go down hamlet Gili Meno usually walk or rent bicycle and cidomo. Thank you. Listeners, if walking to go down Gilimeno until middle of the island, you will see one uniqueness of Gilimeno. It is a lake with salt water which is located at the middle of the island. Surrounding the lake, there are many shady trees. You do not have to worry because there is a signboard to go to the lake. At the lake, tourists can go around on wooden dock which is on the lake. Surrounding the lake, there are many kinds of birds and fish, but those birds cannot be caught because they are protected. Listeners, if you want to take holidays on Gilimeno Island, we suggest you to come in May until August. The calm atmosphere makes this place be favorite one for a new couple to enjoy honeymoon. This island is also facilitated by many hotels. Tourists can also go around the island by riding a horse, and they can also see turtles which are swimming at their habitat. You can also enjoy snorkeling and diving at this island. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Wawancara Pekerjaan, which in English means Job Interview Statement. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Siapa? Siapa, which means who. Nama Anda? Nama Anda, which means your name. Nama saya? Nama saya, which means my name. Di mana? Di mana, which means where. Alamat Anda? Alamat Anda, which means your address. Saya tinggal. Saya tinggal, which means I live on. Jalan. Jalan, which means street. Berapa. Berapa, which means how much. Usia Anda. Usia Anda, which means your age. Usia saya. Usia saya, which means my age. Menikah. Menikah, which means get married. Belum menikah. Belum menikah, which means single. Bisa. Bisa, which means can be. Bahasa Inggris. Bahasa Inggris, which means English. Bahasa Jerman. Bahasa Jerman, which means German or Deutsch. Mempunyai. Mempunyai. Mempunyai, which means to have. Pengalaman kerja. Pengalaman kerja, which means job experience. Pernah bekerja. Pernah bekerja, which means work. Sebagai. Sebagai, which means as. Manager pemasaran. Manager pemasaran, which means marketing manager. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. atas waktu Anda. Atas waktu Anda, which means for your time. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali, which means you're welcome. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Wawancara Pekerjaan, or in English means job interview. The conversation is between Danu, A, and B, Budi, and the office. A, Danu, siapa nama Anda? Siapa nama Anda, which means what is your name? B, Budi, nama saya Budi. Nama saya Budi, which means my name is Budi. A, Danu, di mana alamat Anda? Di mana alamat Anda, which means where do you live? B, Budi, saya tinggal di Jalan Kerinci nomor 5. Saya tinggal di Jalan Kerinci nomor 5, which means I live on Jalan Kerinci nomor 5. A, Danu, berapa usia Anda? Berapa usia Anda, which means how old are you? B, Budi, usia saya 23 tahun. Usia saya 23 tahun, which means I'm 23 years old. A, Danu, apakah Anda sudah menikah? Apakah Anda sudah menikah, which means are you married? B, Budi, belum, saya belum menikah. Belum, saya belum menikah, which means no, I'm not married or I'm single. A, Danu, apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Inggris? Apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Inggris, which means do you speak English? B, Budi, ya, saya bisa berbahasa Inggris dan Jerman. Ya, saya bisa berbahasa Inggris dan Jerman, which means yes, I can speak English and German or Deutsch. A, Danu, apakah Anda mempunyai pengalaman kerja? Apakah Anda mempunyai pengalaman kerja, which means do you have job experiences? B, Budi, saya pernah bekerja sebagai manajer pemasaran. Saya pernah bekerja sebagai manajer pemasaran, which means I have worked as a marketing manager. A, Danu, baiklah, terima kasih atas waktu Anda. Baiklah, terima kasih atas waktu Anda, which means thank you for your time. B, Budi, terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali, which means you're welcome. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with different topics. Thank you for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, namely Ari Kusmiran. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Setulus Hatimu, Semurni Cintamu by Ari Kusmiran. Enjoy the song.
Setulus hatimu
Ari Kusmiran is a singer who was popular in the 1970s era. The youngest of seven siblings from her parents Kusmiran and Juana was born in Sidoarjo, East Java on April 20, 1958. Ari Kusmiran began her career since she was in elementary school. In 1970, she won a pop singer competition for the level of East Java 3 years in a row. Since at that time, Ari Kusmiran began a work contract with Mutiara Recording Company and released the first album entitled Kenangan December. The success of Ari Kusmiran could not be separated from Indonesian talented composers Is Haryanto, Arianto, and Barjo van Houten. The tour then moved to the Philippines in the framework of the first ASEAN Song Festival. In the festival, Ari Kusmiran dedicated an ethnic Javanese song entitled Romo Onomaling, composed by Titik Puspa, in a duet with Ade Manuhutu. She continued to a series of tour shows to Suriname, Rotterdam, and The Hague with a Javanese language album. My listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Tepi Sungai Babylon. Happy listening.
Di tepian sungai Babylon.
Listener, the success of her career took Ari Kusmiran to the tour show abroad, such as Singapore, to follow the Asian Film Festival in 1977. The tour was then continued to the first ASEAN Song Festival in the Philippines. Ari Kusmiran also tried her talent in an acting on large screen in 1979. She played in a dozen films such as Binalnya Anak Muda, Gita Cinta dari SMA, and Arjuna Mencari Cinta. However, because she loved very much to the music career, Ari Kusmiran along her husband built a recording company with a label PT Elang Mas Ananta Istamitra, which then produced her own songs, as well as her three children, so that it became the family company that still be exist up to this time. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner, now I will take you to enjoy the last song by Ari Kusmiran, entitled Kenangan Desember, or The Memory of December. See you then and sampai jumpa.
Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.